Good morning. I'm Barry Mussenden from the Department's Equality and Human Rights Group, and I'd like to welcome you here today and apologise for keeping you waiting, especially for those of you who arrived about an hour or so ago. So apologies for the late start. We will make up time, so in terms of your programme, which we'll come to shortly, we'll be sticking to those timings and make up for time in the meantime. So good morning, and welcome to this, the third Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Group event. I think some of you have been to all three. Apologies for this morning that our timing in terms of our start was a bit off, but our timing of the event, I think, couldn't be more spot on, given that next Monday we finally see coming into force the Sexual Orientation Regulations and Equality Act, a long time coming and finally arrived. I think it was particularly positive to see that the vote in the Lords over this was so decisive. I'm sure some of you followed it quite closely. And the vote in favour was pretty decisive, particularly given some of the malicious nature of some of the campaigning that happened against the regulations. So at last, we have some new protections in place. Big step forward, hopefully, for lesbian, gay and bisexual equality. Still need to extend that to trans people. And on that front, the ongoing discrimination law review, some of you have been following, is going to look to remedy that through the Single Equality Act that we're expecting by the end of the year. So there's a lot on the move, and that's why I feel that it is very good timing to be having this event this morning, to be reviewing this work that's been undertaken under SOGIAG, and also thinking about next steps on its agenda. And one thing you would also have noticed, there's quite a bit of reflection at the moment, 10 years into this government, quite a bit of reflection on what has and hasn't been achieved and what the future challenges are. We in the department last month were honoured to have a visit from Mr. Blair, who came down and thanked us for all the hard work the department's done over the last 10 years. And I think Stonewall's gala dinner last month also had Mr. Blair present, acknowledging the progress that's been made on the LGBT agenda. And on that front, I think I would say there has been very real and substantive progress. Thinking back, beginning with the repeal of Section 28, I can't think of many more odious pieces of legislation than something that really basically allowed for LGBT people to be treated pretty much as second-class citizens, starting with the repeal of that legislation, going through to the lowering of the age of consent, civil partnership, gender reassignment, gender recognition acts, real and substantive progress. And so certainly from the government's point of view, I think there has been real progress over the last 10 years and a recognition that many of you and your organisations have been party to bringing that about. So thinking about it from our point of view in Equality and Human Rights Group, we see those changes as significant, but recognise the key challenges about ensuring full implementation and best practice implementation. And that's partly what SOGIAG is about, making sure that we're not just doing the minimum to comply with these new regulations, but actually doing the most to make sure it makes a real difference to LGBT people's lives. So within EHRG, I think we've been supporting SOGIAG now since May 2005, and there's work that went on prior to that to get that in place. And I was going to use this introduction session to reflect a bit on some of our broader work in EHRG and some of the connections with the SOGIAG agenda, but given the time, I might save that for see how we get on a bit later in the day and try and press on with the business of the day. So you do have a programme in your packs. Hopefully you've got quite the hefty pack that was produced by colleagues in our team with a number of materials in there that are relevant to today's session, and it does have the programme. And as I say, we're going to stick to that running order and try and keep to the timing as best we can too. So shortly I'll be introducing Christine Burns as our first presentation, and we're particularly pleased to have Christine, given that I think our last event, last June 2006, as well as celebrating the work that had been achieved, there was a concern that there wasn't sufficient emphasis yet still on the trans agenda, and we needed to strengthen that, and that certainly has been the case over the past year. We also know that there are some very big challenges ahead of us, generally speaking, and particularly thinking on the workforce front too. Stonewall recently published their most recent equality index, and we found that the NHS and the Department of Health didn't really fare too well, had slipped down the list of gay-friendly employers, something we're not particularly proud of. But something else you'll be hearing about this morning, which is work that we commissioned looking at experiences of LGBT people in the NHS, probably give us a pretty good indication of why we've slipped down that agenda and what we need to do to get things right. So these are things we'll be looking to cover during the course of this morning, to reflect on what SOGIAG as a group and those of you supporting it have been undertaking over the past year, and thinking about shaping the future work programme. We do have a budget to support this work. Last year, the budget was £100,000. This year, we've managed to secure quite a substantial increase over the next of the current financial year, increasing it to 250,000. We're looking as part of that resource to appoint someone, second someone from the NHS. We'll be going out at the beginning of May looking for a secondee, inviting applicants for a secondee from the NHS to come in and work with the department for a year to try and take forward this work. So keep your eyes peeled if that's something that might interest any of you. And we do want to try and maximise this because we have a pretty good sense that after this financial year, the coffers might be a bit thin. We're not quite sure what our budget will be in future, and it might well be that the 250,000 we allocate this year isn't necessarily there next year, or perhaps has gone out to the NHS rather than sitting with us in a department. So we're really looking to try and make maximum impact with the resource we do have over the current year. And again, this event, and the reason we've timed it in April, will be shaping that agenda during the course of the year. So your contributions, critical feedback, what have you, is very much valued. As we run into the programme, we're going to be going basically one speaker after another, and then we'll have a panel session, a discussion session after the coffee break, where all the speakers will be available to pick up on any points in their presentation and a broader discussion. So it might feel a little bit one way for the first hour, and then we'll be open into the dialogue. But if you do have any particular questions for clarification, you can raise that with individual speakers. But in terms of the wider debating points, we'll try and hold that off until after the coffee break to allow us to make up some time. So that's as much as I wanted to say by way of sort of introductory comments, really. Thank you again for coming and for bearing with us while we set up. So as I say, our first speaker is Christine Burns, and if I can invite you to come forward, thank you.